Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average, everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on most streaming platforms. Just search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. You can also listen to our episodes directly on our Facebook page or check us out on our Twitter or Instagram for the latest episodes and up-to-date Chiefs news. All right, Rich, so today is officially draft day. How you feeling?
Love it, man. This is my Super Bowl. Even when my team was in it, I get pumped for the draft probably more than any other singular year event since the World Cup is every 4 years. So, yeah, man, I mean, I'm definitely in my element right now.
Right. So, real quick, so speaking of the World Cup, I mean, obviously, you know the World Cup is in like later this year, like what starts in November. So how is it going to feel being like, you know, you have NFL going on at the same time this year and you're going to have World Cup going on at the same time?
Sounds like I'm going to have to apologize and spend a lot of money for my girls, right? My girlfriend and the kids, because I will be stuck to a TV for somewhere between what, like 7 a.m. to potentially 3.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
Oh, sorry. No, like 10. Right, so on the weekends, basically, I'm going to be stuck to a TV watching soccer and football all day. The other days I better not do anything or just be like, hey, here's some money, or buy them a lot of stuff, you know?
Right, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it as well, except for I'm not looking forward to those late nights, early mornings watching, you know, some of our teams that you want to watch and play, watch play over there overseas, because it's going to be those odd times again, obviously. And then the next one that comes to the, you know, North America will be obviously a lot easier to watch. But yeah, it's going to be interesting having both soccer later this November with the World Cup and also NFL at the same time.
Yep, and it's an 8-hour difference, so it won't be terrible like Korea, Japan. I think it's very comparable, if I'm not mistaken, the exact same time as the Russia World Cup, so earlier in the morning type setups.
Right. So something to look forward to later this year for sure. So with today being obviously draft day and, you know, we're basically looking forward to it and all that. We are actually concluding our draft preview today with our mock drafts and kind of how we're going to kind of do this is we're going to go kind of round by round, pick by pick for what the Chiefs have. And, you know, Rich will give his pick and I'll give my pick and we'll kind of just kind of swap back and forth. Where kind of the picks stand. I mean, obviously, things happen, of course, of NFL draft day where there's trades happening. And so these might actually be how the picks end up lining up as, but we're just going to go and do it as if nothing happens and just kind of stays the same. So we'll go ahead and kick it off now. So with the 29th pick, who do you got, Rich?
All right. So with the 29th pick, the Chiefs take defensive tackle Travis Jones from UConn. So that's my pick right there, giving Chris Jones some interior help and really beefing up our defense so that hopefully it matches the offense and we don't have to watch what we did those first couple games of last year.
Right. That's not a bad pick. I kind of like that pick. I have, for a 29th pick, I have George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia, just because – you know, we need another wide receiver to go along with what we picked up with Juju, you know, kind of combination from other wide receivers that we have. Obviously, he's not going to, you know, probably replace Tyreek Hill for what he did with us for our team when he was here. But as far as adding that additional wide receiver weapon to our group, I think that's going to help us out.
And probably before today, he is who I always mocked at 29 or 30. But I've talked myself out of taking a wide receiver in the first round. So
right, I know it's tough. It was tough because I'm like, I go off of kind of history of what the Chiefs have done in for wide receiver in the first round. But I'm sticking with it just because I don't think he's going to be something like Jonathan Baldwin, that kind of type that we had kind of drafted in the first round before. Right. So I feel like
he's a beast. And if he didn't have his injury and let's say some issues there with fighting and stuff like that, I think he probably would have been a top 15, maybe even top 10 pick. Because the dude's super athletic. I just think he'll be gone by 29. So yeah, maybe the Chiefs move up.
Yeah, possibly. So, so moving on to the second pick we have in the round one, which is actually number 30, is the next one. I'll go ahead and give you my pick. All right, so I have for number 30, I have cornerback Daxton Hill from Michigan. He also does play safety, so I think he's a little bit of safety and cornerback, but I think for on the NFL level, they're kind of projecting him to be as a cornerback. And I think he will slide in well with, obviously, you know, we don't have Jarvarius Ward anymore, so we have is Snead, Fenton, and DeAndre Baker. So I think he'll fit along with those cornerbacks pretty nicely.
Yeah, so for me, I am taking, with the 30th pick, I'm going to take Boye Mafe, defensive end from Minnesota. His first step off the line is really, really nice. He seems like your typical 4-3 defensive end. So that's who I'm going with to help bolster up our defensive line. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Travis Jones, Boye Mafe, and you know a few other guys that we've got on the roster to create some havoc there in the AFC West and the rest of the AFC.
So it sounds like you're going for a first round. You're pretty much going just to bolster up the defensive line, which is not a bad idea.
Yep. I'm telling you, man, I'm getting old. Like, I care about offensive line and defensive line. You know, that's where teams are won, or games are won, and teams are built. So we got to make sure they're good.
All right. So moving on to the second round. Rich, who do you have for number 50?
All right. So that little noise, I kind of cut it off, huh? Went a little too soon there. So
no, you're good.
With the 50th pick, the Chiefs take cornerback Roger McCreary from Auburn. This is one kid that I constantly mocked at 29 or 30 for us in the first round. I love how he plays. He's a very aggressive corner, loves to play man. The combine is good for seeing how people move. And his ability to turn and how quickly he moves his hips, how his feet stay in the right places to make sure he can get in and out of breaks, chasing wide receivers, mirroring them, so on and so forth. That's why I really like this guy. And if he happens to be there at, you know, round two, it'd be a great pick for the Chiefs.
All right. So at my number 50, I'm going with, since you went with basically the line in the first round, I'm going with defensive end Kingsley. And we'll see if I can pronounce his last name right. Enagbari from South Carolina.
So it's Enagbre.
See, I got it wrong.
But I mean, hey, at least you sounded it out, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to sound it out anyways. But I think he will be the starter, or at least play for the starter on the opposite side of Frank Clark if we were to get him and didn't get the guy, what was the guy's name again from the first run from Minnesota? Said this.
What'd you call him earlier, Bofi?
Yeah, I kind of mixed the two first and the last name together, so I was like, I'm gonna not even gonna say it. But anyways, so if we don't select him and we end up selecting Kingsley in the second round, then I think he's pretty much fulfilled that for that spot for the.
So actually, line. You know what? Now, like, you got me thinking. Because I'm pretty sure his last name is of like African descent. Man, okay. The way you said it, I bet you it's probably closer to Enagbare than it is Enagbre. But his nickname is JJ, so if he does end up being a Chief, that'll be easier for a lot of folks.
Oh yeah, we'll use nicknames just like we do with, like, for instance, Marvez, Valdez, Scantley. We use MVS. So yeah, there's be there some nicknames on some of these players for sure. So all right, so moving on to the second pick we have in the second round, for number 62. I have the Chiefs taking safety Nick Cross from Maryland. And actually, there was another safety I was actually going to go with here too. But Nick Cross ended up being the better one, I think, for what I could select at that time, at least from a couple of mocks that I had that were sliding in that position. Obviously, with Tyrann Mathieu gone and, you know, Justin Reed signed on, but with Thornhill being a free agent next year, I think that safety spot will need somebody for the future. And I felt like he's probably the guy that will kind of fit that role. But who do you have for number 62?
So for 62, I said I wasn't going to do this the other day. I said if Veach did it, I'd be like, maybe too early. But I've talked myself into, if Trey McBride is available in the second round at one of our picks, the tight end from Colorado State, you take him. He is a blend of like George Kittle, Travis Kelce, somewhere around there. Man, having Kelce and McBride with those wide receivers, that is like possession mismatch offense all over the board. So I'm all in for Trey McBride at 62.
Hey, if we bolster a better or what we have for the tight ends that we have now and even add him and along with our receiving core that we already have, that's just going to be insane. So I can't argue with that one either. Well, the more offense we get,
no one gets crazy with, like, I'm not saying replace Kelce. There is no replacing Kelce. Even when he retires, there's no replacing him. This is just in addition. You know, it's a two tight end monster.
Right.
Kind of like what Gronk and Hernandez used to do a long time ago. So, yeah, just so you know, no one's like, you're saying Kelce's done? No, Kelce's nowhere near done. So
exactly. Yep. All right. So moving on to round three, which is this starts to get a little dicey here. So we'll see what we got going on with picks. But all right, for round three, number 94.
All right. So with the 94th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, Kansas City Chiefs select Kellen Dyche, tackle from Arizona State. And he's a guy that ranked really well according to, you know, all the expert websites or all the analytical websites. And I could see him playing right tackle. But let's just say, right, something happens with Orlando Brown in his contract situation and maybe we don't sign him or maybe we're franchising him next year and he's only got one more year. You've got a guy that could maybe step in there. So that's my pick.
All right. And so with my number 94, I'm going with somebody that I actually just heard this week because you had mentioned him. I'm going with halfback or running back James Cook from Georgia. Obviously, he's the brother of Dalvin Cook. Ran a 4.42 40-yard dash. Obviously, I think he's almost like his brother. In a lot of aspects from what I've been reading up on him. But obviously with the uncertainty of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because obviously Jared McKinnon's not coming back. We signed Ronald Jones from Tampa Bay. So that's basically our 1-2 punch for running backs. But I think adding him, even in addition to Derek Gore, will boost our running back positions.
Man, I'm telling you, like, he was there all the time in every mock around the third round. I didn't take him just to be different, but man, if we did, and if he's available, I say go for it 100% because you just said, right, Ronald Jones, he's on a, what, one-year deal, two-year deal?
Yeah.
CEH, he's good for maybe somewhere between 10 and 12 games a year, and I don't think we're going to re-sign him once his contract is up or once his rookie deal expires. Derek Gore is a nice fill-in. But he would be nice, man. He would have the same impact that Kareem Hunt did on this offense. You know, not just because he's a late round pick, right? And not just because he's a guy with dreads, but he's just explosive. So I would love to see him in an Andy Reid offense.
He's very cool. And like you said, I'm glad you mentioned Kareem Hunt. He's very like him. And like I said, he could run, he can catch, he's fast. Just everything kind of seems like he would be something like him. So, and actually, here in a minute, obviously, we'll go with our second picks in 103. But the reason why I took him here is because in most mocks that I've seen, he's gone before 103. What I've seen, where he's right around there where it's like super close. So that's why I took him with 94 with the first one.
Yeah, I think he'll be a round two pick. I think he'll be mid to late round two.
Right. All right, so with the second pick in round three at number 103. All right, so I have for us taking with that pick cornerback Damari Mathis from Pittsburgh. I know it's basically from my mocks that I've had or ones that I'm doing, at least the one right now. I mean, this is obviously the third secondary guy I've taken in three rounds, but I think you can never have enough good corners, especially young corners. And we've seen Veach do well as far as drafting a lot of young corners. If you've noticed, we don't normally pay cornerbacks when they hit the free agent market, as far as, you know, ones that are wanting more, getting paid more for their deals. So I always see Veach going after young talent. So that's what I did here. And I think he'll, you know, booster that secondary.
All right, and so for me, this is a new name to me. Didn't do too much analyzing or studying of Romeo Doubs, wide receiver from Nevada. So I didn't take any wide receivers before that. You know, we've got a thin wide receiver room from a contractual obligation perspective, but then even a consistent performance as a Chief. So Romeo Doubs from Nevada, he's about 6'1", 200-pound wide receiver, so typical size. When I watch all the stuff on him, he moves like Randy Moss. Obviously, he's not 6'4", like Randy Moss, but possession-style wide receiver. Just continuing the theme with those possession-style wide receivers.
Yep. All right. And so moving on to round four for number 121.
All right. So with the 121st pick in the fourth round, the Chiefs select Terrell Bernard, linebacker from Baylor. This is a guy who I've read he's small, right? So he's built like a 4'3 linebacker, smaller guy, 6'1", about 220 and some change. Fast, but he plays like a madman, right? He plays much bigger than his size. And that's what we need because we sometimes don't like to tackle. So we need Nick Bolton type guys, Willie Gay type guys, Terrell Bernard type guys at linebacker.
And it's interesting here because in round four, I've actually went back and forth with these two picks, either linebacker or tackle, kind of either swapped either one. But actually for my pick for the 121st pick, I actually had tackle Kellen, and I don't see if I get his name right, Kellen Deitch. From Arizona State. Obviously, and the reason why I said either tackle or linebacker is because I think I've seen there's some good amount of tackles and linebackers in this fourth round. And obviously, I selected him because the right tackle position is still kind of up debate. Obviously, we signed Jerome Christian. We still have Andrew Wiley and also Lucas Niang. But it's still kind of one of those positions like we don't have a sure thing there. So I thought, like, this is kind of the right moment in the draft that we kind of go for a tackle, whether he plays left tackle, backing up Orlando Brown, or maybe giving the shot at starting at right tackle as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had him going right in the last round. So somewhere within that range makes sense for him.
Yep. Oh, for sure. All right. So let's see. With the last pick in the fourth round, 135. And this is where I picked my linebacker. And every time I've done mock drafts, this guy's always been here for round four. And I think he'd be a good fit. Would be a Damone Clark from LSU. So obviously you need, like you were just saying earlier, you always need guys that can tackle well. I think he fits that mold and to have a booster our linebacking core.
Yeah, and so with Damone Clark, he's a kind of your typical LSU linebacker. I watched him a lot. I think he plays more middle linebacker, so where Nick Bolton would play. But, he's someone that, I liked a lot more at the beginning of the year, kind of when Nick hadn't busted out on the scene yet. It's always good to have athletic linebackers.
Right.
All right. And then, so for me, and here's where it starts to get thin on knowledge and names, because now you're getting into the hundreds of prospects. So I have Neil Farrell Jr., defensive tackle or interior defensive lineman, as some of them prefer to be called, from LSU. Again, right, just beefing up our defense. These are all rotation guys. Hopefully, one hits. I know I always say don't scout the helmet and then proceed to scout the helmet. But, LSU always makes athletic players. So, yeah.
Right, when it comes push to shove, like sometimes when you get later in these rounds, it's funny. I kind of typically go with players that have like played in like, big time schools. I try to, if I don't know their name or don't know them too pretty well, that's what I kind of normally lean to. So, obviously there are other players out there that are skilled that go later in rounds that don't play in, big time conferences. But that's kind of how I feel about the two as the draft goes on.
Yeah, I mean, these names start to get really thin, right, for us.
Oh, yeah.
Average guys that, don't do this as a job.
Right. So moving on to speaking of that, moving on to our last four picks we have are in round seven. And this is probably where we're just going to be naming names, you know, filling positions because, you know, most of these guys probably, you know, have an outside chance of making the team. But, you know, most likely they normally might start in the practice squad or don't end up making the team. So we'll start with, like I said, round seven. First pick is 233.
All right, and this one's mine, right?
Yep, definitely, yep.
All right, so kind of what you just said about blue blood programs. So I've got safety Brad Hawkins from Michigan with the 233rd pick. Just depth, right? Just depth there in that secondary for us.
Wow, you know, this is funny. This is the exact pick that I picked, too. Yep. This is the first pick that we actually got right, because obviously you get into later rounds. I mean, you're most odds are is we're going to be in the pickup of the same people, maybe anyways. But, no, I went with Brad Hawkins, too, as well, and just for the same reason you said, just depth-wise. Obviously, I went with Nick Cross already with safety, so this is another safety I had, and that's the fourth person I have as far as on secondary. But, yeah, pretty much it's mostly for depth reasons. And so moving on to the second pick that we have in round seven, this is 243. I have the Chiefs taking Noah Ellis, defensive lineman out of Idaho. And pretty much I think this is kind of more of a backup role, obviously, as well, just for, you know, just to – for kicks and giggles, I guess you'd say as well, just because we kind of have a booster, you know, defensive tackle spot as far as all the guys that we do have with obviously Chris Jones. And then I know, you know, we had drafted somebody already earlier in this draft with somebody. And then you also have Wharton too as well, Kyler Sanders. So now you're starting to look into more into depth, and that's pretty much who I have for depth at 243.
Definitely makes sense.
What do you got there?
243, I have linebacker Baylen Specter from Clemson. Again, big blue blood program, produces good defensive players. So if my guy makes the practice squad or even makes the team, period, you know, that's a plus.
All right. So moving into the third pick in round number seven, number 251.
All right, so with the 251st pick, the Chiefs select. Guy goes to a local college. Well, kind of local since it's about the two hours away. But I've got center Michael Mayadi from Mizzou. Again, just depth. You know, practice squad body. We've got Creed Humphrey. So it'd be nice to have, you know, some young blood behind him as well.
Not bad. And then for 251 for me, I have tight end Connor Haywood from Michigan State. Just because, well, obviously, if we end up selecting a tight end earlier on, kind of how you had projected, you know, this is probably another guy that's probably just going to be more so for depth reasons because our tight end spots with Kelsey and Noah Gray and even Jody Fortson. And if we select somebody even earlier, but he's more of kind of like a depth piece. As well. All right, so moving on to the very last pick we have in the draft, and for round seven, number 259. And who I have, and it's kind of like at this point, I mean, obviously most of these last picks are just kind of like, you're kind of almost picking somebody in some aspects when you have 12 picks and it's sort of the end of the draft. It's like, what are you really doing here? So I went with tackle, once again, a big time school from LSU, Austin DeCloris. Not sure exactly if I'm probably not pronounced that right. But just like I said, another kind of depth addition for offensive line.
All right. And so for my last pick, I am taking Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa from Notre Dame, defensive end. Wonder if he's related to Tua because they've got, you know, that.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Last name. But again, mm-hmm. Just a name, something that, you know, from what I read, it makes sense. You know, my priority out of this draft is get better on defense. We've gotten younger on offense as well as some spots on defense. So yeah.
So out of all the ones that, since we concluded all 12 picks of what we think the Chiefs might get, out of all the ones that you had selected, or at least ones that you think the Chiefs might select, which one do you think will have the biggest impact possibly on the team if they select them?
Oh, man.
I know I kind of hit you with a trick question there.
Well, even if I was ready for it, man, that's deep because Boye Mafe, I think, could be the one that have the biggest immediate impact. The thing is, Spagnuolo's system asks for the defensive ends to do a lot from a pass rushing perspective, and that might be a lot for a rookie to handle the first half of the year. Now, maybe once again, it's in a groove of things, so on and so forth. So, I would probably have to go with whatever corner we take. Roger McCreary, he's probably going to play in some way, right? Whatever corner we end up taking, because you got Snead, you got Fenton. I don't know what's going to happen with Baker. You know, we lost a few guys. So whatever corner, they're going to be somewhere within a 2 to 5, you know, man rotation, or not even rotation, but spot. So whatever corner we end up taking, I think will have the biggest impact out of any of our picks.
That sounds about right. I was actually going to kind of start and lean with my pick with that running back James Cook in the third round, depending on obviously if we select him. But, you know, if he shows out, like he could be a guy that can move up the depth chart pretty quickly. Obviously, I mean, who knows, obviously, what Ronald Jones can bring to the table, you know, with us, you know, next year, but or this year, I would say, coming up. But depending on how he plays, he could obviously get some time in. We'll have to actually wait and see if that's somebody we select. But I agree with you. Obviously, in some aspect of this draft, there will be a cornerback taken, maybe even multiple cornerbacks taken. So I think whoever that is, and for my case, it's Daxton Hill. So I'll speak with on that. He actually can play that nickelback position that kind of like Honey Badger played a lot, and he can kind of play a little safety as well. So obviously, if Daxton Hill is selected by the Chiefs, I think you'll see he'll play, like you said, like a lot for a team in some kind of aspect of the role, just because of the uncertainty of some of the other guys outside of Fenton and Snead. Like you said, Baker and some of the other guys, you just don't know what to expect going in right now. So I think any of these draft picks will have some kind of rotation or something along the lines of getting playing time. All right. So the final thoughts I have topic for today is I was kind of going to ask you, Rich, is I know we kind of just went by pick of what the Chiefs have going into the draft, but what is your realistic expectations of us moving up, or do you think, obviously, with that 29 and 30, maybe we use one of those picks to trade back and get some additional picks? What are your thoughts as far as realistically doing one of the two?
So realistically speaking, regarding trading up, I think it only happens, and this is kind of common sense, right? Maybe I'm trying to sound like a messiah or something, but if Derek Stingley Jr., Jameson Williams, if for some reason like Kayvon Thibodeau, if any of those guys start to slide somewhere between 10 to 15, maybe even like late teens, then that's where I think the realistic trade setup happens, because when you have two first-round picks, give up a 29 and a 30 for like a 12 at Minnesota. If Jameson Williams, Derek Stingley, or like Kayvon Thibodeau over there, that's realistically. Or let's say Sauce Gardner, one of the best corners in this draft. So that's when I think it could happen. Will it happen? I don't think so. I wouldn't put money on it. I said it, you know, in our group chat and stuff, right? That I think we need two players. I know those late first round pick guys, people start to reach. Most teams only have about 15 first-round grade players. Man, who knows? We might even end up trading back and getting more picks next year.
And that's what I can see happening. At least if we don't move up and we stay at 29 and 30, for some reason I have a feeling one of those are going to get flipped for dropping back and getting maybe an extra pick this year and next year or something like that. But that's kind of how I feel about it.
Like, I'm all for this. So this draft is deep at defensive line and wide receiver. Not so much at tackle, obviously not at quarterback, which we don't have to worry about, thankfully. But yeah, that's my thing is, if we end up just getting one player, or maybe we find some way and, there might be a player out there that I'm currently in the NFL that we might trade for. I don't know. That would have probably already came out by now. But yeah, I think, like I said, the only realistic way that happens is if those guys that were really good and got hurt start dropping, the Chiefs can take a chance more than like a Washington Commanders. A Washington Commanders can't really take a chance on Derek Stingley Jr. or Jameson Williams because, they're not a good team to start with. The Chiefs, they can just a little bit more. Yeah, we have a lot of areas of need, especially on the defensive side. But I'm a believer in people do better and do well in better environments. So, yeah, you think about Derek Stingley. The guy has, been beat up. He goes out and starts from the first snap at practice. And now he's playing a ton of snaps, whereas with the Chiefs, he can maybe slowly work into the rotation, get better, kind of like how Mahomes did, like how Tyreek Hill did, Travis, all those guys, they learned how to be playing the NFL, and then they got good,
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I see what you're saying with that. It's just, it's all about, like you're kind of saying, like the right fit, the right spot. And some of these teams, if they're, they have, it comes to their pick and their guy isn't there, or some of the guys that they don't, they're on their board isn't there. You can't just force someone into that spot. Like you mentioned about with the Washington, Commanders. Like, I mean, are they really going to take Jason Williams at, 11? it just doesn't seem like some of these guys that, if they're not right fit for them, I just don't see how they'll just end up taking somebody. I think I mentioned earlier in our chat, there's 8 teams that are not drafting on day one. So you got to think if some of those teams are trying to get into round one. And we heard reports that a lot of teams are just trying to trade back because they're in spots that they're not exactly sure who they want to take, or they want to get more multiple picks as well because maybe they don't have less picks. So I think this one's going to be kind of interesting. The only way I see, obviously, the Chiefs moving up, and obviously it's been rumored that they would move up to number 12 for the Vikings. And I know in our group chat and our thing is I kind of see that happening. But I just – the only way I do see that happening is, like you said, if he drops past 10 or 11 or in that 15 spot today, we might actually do that and actually get a good trade out of that where we're not giving up too much. For that, but that's the only thing I could see us moving up for. Maybe someone like Andrew Booth Jr., the cornerback from Clemson, if he falls like in the 20s, somewhere like that, maybe move up to get him because obviously cornerback's a big need too, but that's about it for me.
Yeah, the other thing I've said is so the Jets, the Giants, they have 2 picks within the top 10. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like the top of the 10. Giving New York or the Jets a call, because you're not going to be competing with either of those 2 teams. And, I'd be all for the Chiefs end, 1, 2, and maybe, a 3 to get either one of those 4 top 10 picks. And you get an impact elite player out of this year's draft. Man, I'd be all for it, but I don't think that's going to happen. I know the Giants need it, right? The Giants would benefit from having 3 players. The Jets would benefit from having 3 players. It's just what messes us up is the 29 and the 30. If it would have been like a 20 and a 30, you have a little bit more leverage.
Yeah.
But 29 and 30. Now, teams could definitely trade back, acquire those 2 picks from us, and then trade up. That's always a possibility. But yeah, I think that'd be something to watch. But I just don't see that happening realistically.
And honestly, I mean, obviously, because we have 4 picks for day 2 with 2 in the second round, 2 in the third round, I could see more movement with that than actually tonight. Just because if there's more picks then, there could be a lot of switching around in those picks too as well, a lot of things happening. But you're right. Normally, like first round picks, it's just kind of tough. I mean, we obviously know Veach's history and some of the things where he does like making trades and so on and so forth. But if it's not the right call and not right move to do, it's going to be kind of tough. I realistically don't really see us having 29 and 30, but I could also at the same point see us sticking with it. So it's just going to be interesting to watch, obviously.
Yeah. So, like if I had to bet, you guys said, hey, gentlemen's bet $1.
Yeah.
I would bet on, we don't pick 29 and 30, but I don't see us moving like more than maybe 10 spots.
Yeah, I see that. Like not more than inside the top 20, basically.
Right.
Yeah. So one other thing along with this kind of part two, and I think you kind of started talking with a little bit about it as far as like, well, if it's not a pick, it's a player. What do you think as far as players like Debo Samuel or Baker Mayfield or even Jimmy Garoppolo or any other players that might be moved? I'm not sure if many of those players be moved tonight, but what about maybe even tomorrow or Saturday?
So for me, man, if I were Brett Veach, here's what I'd do. The problem is you still got to pay him. I would either call Tennessee about A.J. Brown, Washington about McLaurin, or San Francisco and be like, hey, it's last minute. I know. I'll give you this pick. He's not going to play for you. I'll give you this one first-round pick because, like, they were talking about multiple first-round picks for Debo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I'll give you this one right now. Give me one of those guys, and I'll give you, like, a fourth or something, and give me a six or five.
Right.
TV and snatch them one of those. The problem is you still have to pay them, right? I've said that I'm all in for paying Terry McLaurin. Maybe not Debo, maybe not A.J. Brown, even though I really like A.J. Brown, but his injury concerns. So that's the first part to my response. The second part is, without a doubt, guys like Jimmy G, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, a lot of those guys that have talked about wanting to move, I can see this being – this is going to be the hottest weekend until preseason or the season for those guys to be traded because – teams will start thinking, well, hey, that guy might be available. Let me try to get him.
Right. And then also, like a lot of teams have kind of, and you kind of seen that, they've paused on free agency in the last week or two because they want to see what they're going to do in the draft or players they might move. So anybody that's even still that's available in free agency that's still maybe high up on some people's teams or radars, they'll start looking into where they didn't get in the draft, who they didn't trade for in the draft, right? Then they'll start snatching up some of those free agencies after the draft, after they figured out what their strategy or what they've done, tonight and this weekend. So I think you're right. I think it's obviously if one of these guys that we mentioned is going to get moved, it's obviously this weekend, starting with tonight, if it happens, because it's the best time to do it. Obviously, either trading someone, getting picks for this draft or next year, it's obviously, definitely the right time for that to happen. All right. So with that being said, that actually will conclude today's episode of the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. Definitely check back with us after the weekend. We will break down all the Chiefs draft picks, whether it still be 12, 15, 10, whoever knows, how many you end up with. We'll definitely give our thoughts on each of the picks that the Chiefs draft for the weekend.
I will say, hey, everybody needs to get ready for that what the hell Veach pick, because there's always one. And it's going to be some like tweener defensive lineman that's too big to be a defensive end, too small to be a defensive tackle. Just watch.
Yeah, it is. No, there will be. There'll be that one. If it's, and I'm going to say it's going to be, I'm going to take a guess because I don't see where your guess is, but I'm going to say it's going to be probably like the third round. This is where it's going to be like the W2F. What are you thinking?
I think it's gonna be that. I could see that late second, early third. It's gonna be in that range where you're like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But hey, as long as he hits on all the other ones, man, not everyone's 100%. I get it. He's more successful than not. So I'm just adding some spice to the episode or to the ending of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, and I'll tell you what, since we have 12, and obviously I'm going to say 8, really, because the last four are just kind of whatever. So if he hits out of those eight, right, he hits on at least 5 to 6 of them, then it's money. I mean, if you don't hit on one or two of those, then it's money. So yeah. So don't like panic when it is like one that you're like, oh, he drafted the quarterback in the fourth round. I mean, he's not going to hopefully not do that. But I mean, he drafted the quarterback in the fourth round. Don't panic. But yeah, definitely, you'll definitely be that one that he'll probably not do so good, or one that will just be like, yeah, I don't know, understand that one also.
There you go.
All right. But yeah, definitely, guys, check back with us after the draft and we'll have that complete coverage from everything that happened, especially from what the Chiefs had done too as well. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.